Good morning.
Good to see you. How's it going so far?
Well, it's been going well, I think. Yesterday, I think we set out a very clear choice for people. You know, stick with the team that are delivering jobs and growth and livelihoods that have turned the country round, or put it at risk with Ed Miliband.
Well, you see, there you go again. I mean, you had that... You like your cricket, don't you?
I do.
You like your cricket. And there you were outside Downing Street and you have a swipe at Ed Miliband. And there you're at it again this morning. And a lot of people would say, it's not cricket. And you used the wrong place yesterday.
Well, I don't agree with that. I mean, in cricket, there are two opposing teams. There's a choice. And it's the same in politics. Now, I will defend my record over the last 5 years, and I will talk a lot about that during the campaign.
But you had home
advantage.
But it's also a home advantage. You see, there's you outside number 10, and there's him outside his wee house there. And you look all grand and prime ministerial and whatever. And a lot of people are saying, you know, Ed should have a right of reply there to do that. And a lot of people also saying, if you want to get personal with them, why didn't you do it head to head? Why didn't you do it in the first interview debate?
Well, we've done 146 prime minister's questions, I think, together. I wanted to get on with those debates well before the election campaign. For all sorts of reasons, the broadcasters didn't go with that. So in the end, we had this sort of logjam, and I broke that by saying, come on then, let's just have the one big debate that's going to happen on Thursday. And so we've got that underway. But I think that's good.
Well, was it good? Because then you had Paxo, and he wasn't in good form. You come on, and he clubs you a bit like a seal. He hits you over the head with a big stick straight
away. That's what he does.
But did you not suddenly think, I wish I just had gone head-to-head with Ed, because it wouldn't have been as tough as this?
No, I think it's good to be grilled by interviewers, by studio audiences, and I think a lot of an election campaign should be that. As travelling around the country, I thought the problem last time was that the debates were valuable, but the campaign was only about the debates. There was really no other comment than, you know, the warm-up to the debates themselves. And so some of the issues were pushed out the way. And the issues at this election are immense. We either continue with a plan that's working, we're getting the country back to work. We've pledged today 2 million jobs in the next parliament because we're going to continue at the rate of creating 10,000 jobs a day. And we believe we've got the way of doing that because of the way we've encouraged business to come here. We've made Britain a great place to invest. Those are the issues I want to talk about rather than simply talk about performances in a TV
debate. They're all E issues, aren't they? You're high on E's, as it were. You've got the economy,
certainly
you've got employment,
put it that way.
And you've got Ed. It's all E's.
Well, the point about the economy and employment is without a strong economy, all the other things we want to achieve in politics, the strong health service, better schools for our children, building more homes for young people to buy and own, those things aren't possible unless you have the bedrock of the strong economy. And that's why I will be reminding people in this campaign, 5 years ago when I first walked through that black door, you know, people were wondering, would Britain be able to pay its debts? Were we going to be able to get out of the economic mire we were in? Would we be able to create jobs again? We've answered those questions, and my message is very clear. Stick to the plan. It isn't finished yet, and we need to see it through.
But, yes, you're right, it isn't finished yet, because you weren't banking on a coalition then. Are you banking on a coalition now?
I'm not. We are 23 seats short. I want to be able to say that without getting my sh is wrong. Mm-hmm. 23 seats short of a majority. We can form a majority government if the British people back us. And I think the British people want a majority government for this reason. Look, the coalition government did some good work, but majority government is more accountable. What I put in my manifesto is the programme for the government. Nothing gets haggled away in backroom deals. And I think people want that clarity, that certainty, that accountability from the election and the outcome.
What's plan B?
For the next 37 days, there is no plan B.
Are you telling me you're not having secret talks with
I'm not having
Nick
talks
Clegg
with
or...
anyone. I don't have time. I barely have time to have talks with my wife, let alone talks with anyone else. So what I'm going to be doing for 37 days is flat out to win the majority that I think would be best for our country. Because the best way to continue with the plan that's working is to put me back into Downing Street with the team, George Osborne, Theresa May, all the others, the team that have delivered this strong performance for Britain.
And these jobs, how are you going to deliver these jobs?
Well, by making sure we keep taxes down on business. And today, Labour, okay, that's one of your E's, they're saying they're going to put up taxes on business. What a crazy thing to do when the economy is growing. We're going to make sure we go on building this infrastructure, the road and rail investment, which is now the highest it's been for decades. We're going to train 3 million apprentices in the next parliament, because I don't want young people to leave school and start a life on the dole. When you leave school, you should be either earning or learning. And if we take those steps, stick to the path we're on, there's no reason why we can't go on creating 1,000 jobs a day in the next parliament, just as we have in this parliament.
Well, if you win and you do get into the next parliament, why would you want that job? Why would you want to go down in history as the biggest Scrooge Prime Minister that there has ever been? Because there's dirty deeds to be done ahead. There's a lot of hard work to be done.
Well, look, what my I didn't come into politics to, you know, be someone who had to make lots of cuts and reductions. But that is, you know, you become Prime Minister and you have to do the job that needs to be done. When I became Prime Minister in 2010, Britain was on the brink. We had a budget deficit bigger, forecast to be bigger than Greece's, and we needed to take responsibility. And I wanted to get our deficit down without putting up taxes for hard-working people. And, you know, when that, we can show clearly how we do that in the next parliament, and that's about being responsible.
Why can't you show us clearly now? Why can't you tell us now how you're going to make those cuts? Is it because the medicine is just too horrible to swallow?
No, let me. The medicine is the way I'd describe it, is that we need to, for two more years, do what we've done for the last five, which is find £1 out of every 100 the government spends and save it. And the choice at this election, if you simplify it really, is do you want to find that £1 saving out of every 100, which families and businesses up and down the country have had to do, or do you want to scrap that plan and put up taxes or borrow more instead? That's really the choice. I think we can find that £1 out of every 100. In this parliament, we found £20 billion of savings just by making government more efficient, you know, making sure the IT systems worked, that property wasn't bought at bad rates, you know, proper efficiency, like businesses do, like Sky does every year. We also found £20 billion of welfare savings in this parliament by taking difficult decisions, making sure work always paid, and we need to go on making those sorts of decisions in the next parliament. But again, it's a choice. You either say, yes, let's reform welfare and reduce the costs, or let's scrap that and put up taxes. And that's the alternative.
The other decision that you've come up with is that if successful, you wouldn't stand for a third term. How big an influence was your wife and family on that?
It wasn't about that. I just gave a straight answer to a straight question, which is I've always believed in serving a full second term. I've said that many times, but I thought what follows from that is if you want to serve a full second term, you might as well be clear about a third term. And I think it's, I want people to know the sort of person I am. I think political leadership is vital. I believe I'm halfway through the job that I want to do for our country. But I think after that, you know, no one should think they're indispensable. I think, I'm not saying all, as I put it, all prime ministers go mad or necessarily go mad at the same rate, but I think there is a time when it's good to see some fresh legs.
Thank you very much indeed, Prime Minister. Our time is up now, whether your time will be determined in a few weeks' time. But for the moment, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure.
And I'll say it to you, I'll say it to everybody. Have a good campaign.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.